Well, I think I was about right. My guess was that half the congregation would think of this as Sunday and come, and the other half would think of it as New Year's and stay home. I think we're about half here. So at least half of you are experiencing New Year's in church, which is something that rarely happens. It's still technically a holy day of obligation. Everybody's supposed to be here. It is the most underattended of all the holy days. The holy days sort of went to hell in a handbasket ever since the bishop started meddling with the schedule, creating Class A holy days and Class B and whatnot. But none has collapsed more thoroughly than this feast. And there are other reasons. One is the confusion of the feast itself. What is it exactly that we're celebrating? In my lifetime, the official canonical liturgical title of this feast has been the Circumcision, the Octave Day of Christmas, the Pope's World Day of Prayer for Peace and Justice, and it is now celebrated as the Solemnity of Mary, the Mother of God. Which of those do we emphasize? And is there any way of tying them all together? And do any of them, other than the obvious Octave Day one, have very much to do with Christmas? I think, basically, this whole season, and it is a short season, having had 4 full weeks of Advent, we only get 2 weeks of Christmas. But during this whole season, we meditate upon the mystery of the Incarnation. It's like watching a flower unfold. We look at all the dimensions and all the aspects of the Word become flesh. Try to figure out again, anew, what it means for us and how we respond to it. And there are a lot of different approaches, and I will not try to pursue all of them. Mostly I want to give you a chance to pursue it yourself. But a couple of thoughts first. Listen to those first two readings. The first reading from Numbers is an understatement or a non-statement. In the original text of the reading, still in the Hebrew text as it is written, no longer in the Hebrew text as it is read, in each of those blessings, the holy name is pronounced. The unutterable name, the name that has not been pronounced since the exile, is pronounced. And I will join my name to the Israelites, and so will I bless them. That gives us something of the intimacy of God's relationship with God's people. Also gives us something of the awe in which we stand before the face of the living God, that we will not even pronounce God's name. I know a lot of Christians today do, but I won't, and I certainly don't encourage it here. Who am I to pronounce a name that Jesus himself never pronounced? And yet, in that second reading, we hear not a pronouncing of that name, but almost a leapfrogging of it. The God who is too holy for the name to be pronounced, we address as Abba, Dad. Not just Jesus, as the word uttered by God before the beginning, as the only begotten Son of God, Jesus has a perfect right to call God by that name. But now we, he becomes who we are, so that we may become who he is. The word Paul uses there in Galatians is adoption, the same technical sense the word adoption has in English, one of the two ways of getting into a family. One hurts more, the other costs more. After that, is there a difference? I hope not. If you have two children and say to me, this is my biological daughter, this is my adopted son, my first instinct is to have both kids taken away from you, right? This is my daughter, this is my son, period. So when we are adopted, when we are empowered to call God Abba, it says that because of this word become flesh mystery, we are the daughters and sons of God. We call God Abba. God has no more or less or different love or care or concern for you than God has for Jesus Christ. Let that mystery unfold for a while. It also has something to do with the fact that this is the beginning of a new year. If that's who God is, if that's who we are, if that's what it means to begin to think about the Word becoming flesh, then what's the program? What should we do during this year that the Word may become flesh a little more in us? What should we do in this year that the Word become flesh in our world? We stand at a number of crossroads, economically, politically, internationally, socially, religiously. In what directions shall we proceed? And how shall we get there? It's time at the beginning of the year to think about the old-fashioned virtue of prudence, which is not caution, much less overcaution. It's about figuring out the most effective way to get where you need to be. Recta ratio agibilium, Thomas Aquinas called it. Right reason about things which are to be done. Very close, I think, to Harry Truman's definition of politics as the art of the possible. So a part of the meditation when the Word become flesh is about the art of the possible. What can we do this year that the Word become flesh a little more and a little more and a little more in our world? Those at least are some of the ways of approaching New Year's, ways of continuing the meditation. But I think we should take some time and just give everybody a chance to do it. I'm going to go sit down, look at the creche for a while, let it speak to me, and we invite you to do the same.